tonight. The book of Jonah, chapter number 1, and let's begin reading in verse number 1 tonight. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your kindness to us, Lord, and your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these good testimonies tonight. Lord, my heart has been edified tonight by hearing my brothers and sisters brag on the Lord and brag on the faithfulness of God, and I thank you for that. I pray now as we approach your word, Lord, that we would approach it with respect, and Lord, to the things we've studied, help us to remember that, recall it, and relay that to the congregation. And we'll do what you'll do. We'll thank you and give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Many people are familiar with the book of Jonah and the prophet Jonah. And simply because Jonah was swallowed by a whale, Jesus identified in the book of Jonah, it's called a great fish. In the New Testament, Jesus identifies it as a whale. And that is what everybody knows the book of Jonah for, is Jonah was the prophet that was swallowed by a whale. Well, now tonight, the book of Jonah is not about a whale. You realize in the book of Jonah, it's only mentioned 4 times. The book of Jonah is not about the great city of Nineveh. The word Nineveh, the great city, is mentioned 9 times. The book of Jonah is not even about Jonah. He's mentioned 18 times. But the book of Jonah is about God. In fact, 38 times in 48 verses in the book of Jonah, you'll find God. In fact, you take God out of the book of Jonah, it don't make any sense. But he is the centerpiece of the book of Jonah. The theme of the book of Jonah is not about a whale, but it is about the will of God and the believer's response to it. I do believe in the will of God tonight. So I said, "Preacher, what is the will of God?" It is doing what God wants you to do. I believe tonight that God has put a calling. I know tonight that God has put the calling to preach upon my life. I know it is the will of God for me to be a preacher. I'll go one step further than that. I know it is the will of God for me to be the pastor of the Safe Harbor Baptist Church, and I thank him for that tonight. I know that to be the will of God. So as a preacher, I'm trying to find the will of God. You won't find that wording or that theology in the Word of God trying to find the will of God. It is not a shell game tonight. It is not God trying to hide. Why would God hide what he wants you to do from you? I mean, you can't do it if you don't know what it is tonight. And I would submit to you, and I preach this a lot in youth meetings, the best way to find the will of God for your life is to do the will of God for your life. What I mean by that, it is the will of God for everybody to be saved. Amen. And so if you know that's the will of God and you're not saved, you'd get saved. Amen. And then it's the will of God after you get saved for you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Baptism don't save you, but it simply identifies that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are identifying with Him. And so we know it's the will of God to get saved and get baptized. We know it's the will of God to be a member of a local church. Amen. And we know it's the will of God to read our Bible every day. And we know it's the will of God to pray every day. How we know it's the will of God to be a witness every day. How we know it's the will of God to be filled with the Spirit. And let me say this, you do all those things and you do what you know you're supposed to do, God will open up doors and God will give you light on other things that he wants you to do. Amen. And so the book of Jonah is about the will of God and the believer's response to it. Tonight I want to preach on this thought, reading out these verses 1 through 5, on the foolishness of running from God. The foolishness of running from God. That is what Jonah is doing in our text tonight. The Bible said he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. It's interesting if Jonah had just read the 139th Psalm that David wrote many years before Jonah's ministry began, he would have known this: whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. In other words, David was saying, there is nowhere that I can go that I'm going to get away from the presence of God. If Jonah had read that Psalm, he would have known that you can't run from God. But you'd be surprised that I'm not necessarily talking about lost people in the context tonight. Jonah is a prophet. Jonah is a saved man, if you'll allow me to use that theology. And Jonah is running from God. And I tell you tonight, there may be somebody here in this service tonight. You know God wants you to do something. You know God wants you to take a step of faith in your life. There's something God's put His finger on in your life that He wants you to do. Maybe getting rid of something. Maybe adding something to your life. Maybe doing something for God, and you've been running from the will of God. I tell you, it'll never work out. You'll never be successful when you're trying to run from the will of God for your life. With these thoughts in mind, I want to consider three thoughts out of these five verses on the foolishness of running from God. First of all, I want us to emphasize the divine call in verse 1 and 2. The Bible said, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." In other words, tonight we find this divine call. We find, looking at the text, a sovereign proclamation. Now the word of the Lord. The book of Jonah does not begin with Jonah, but it begins with not the messenger, but the message. Amen. He said the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. I like what Jeremiah 37:17 says. That man, Zedekiah, the king sent him to Jeremiah and asked him this question: is there any word from the Lord? You know what Jeremiah said? There is. Amen. I understand the context of that is different, but I just want to rejoice in the fact tonight that there is a word from the Lord. He's not left us without a word tonight, but He has given us His word in the King James Bible. Amen. We find that there is the sovereign's proclamation. But then we find a specific person. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now there are many that doubt the existence of Jonah. They say he's just a figment of the imagination. Even some Bible scholars say the book of Jonah is nothing more than a parable. But you're going to have a problem with that, because 2 Kings chapter 14 references Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet. He was a real man. He was a real prophet. He ministered to the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of King Jeroboam, the grandson of Solomon, from 793 B.C. To 753 B.C. For some 40 years, he was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. In fact, in the New Testament, we know this: the Lord Jesus identified him. In Matthew chapter 12, he said, "Now as Jonas was in the heart of the well 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." And Jesus said, "Behold, a greater than Jonah is here." He was a specific person. Let me say this tonight: God has a specific will for each and every one of our lives tonight. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a preacher's wife. But I'm telling you, God has a will for your life. You may say, "Preacher, I'm not a preacher. I don't have any position." I tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a will for your life. We find a sovereign proclamation and a specific person, but then we notice a sinful place. Verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city." Nineveh was one of the greatest cities in the ancient world. It was the Assyrian capital. They were known throughout the Bible, though, for their great wickedness. Nineveh, they plundered the wealth and the people of the cities that they conquered. They would often drag people off with hooks in their noses, the captives that they defeated. I'm talking about a wicked bunch, wicked people. And God said, "Send a preacher down there." Oh, do you not? I'm going to tell you what you're going to see if you read the book of Jonah over and over again. You're going to see the mercy of God. Why in the world, and this is what Jonah couldn't figure out, why in the world would God send a preacher, send a prophet, send a warning, send a message to a group of people that had persecuted the people of God? Why would God send a preacher, watch it now, to a bunch of old sorry Gentiles? I have no idea other than God's mercy and God's grace. And may I remind you, we were in the same condition that the people of Nineveh was in. We did not deserve the mercy of God. We did not deserve the grace of God. We did not deserve God to take a look in our direction. But aren't you glad God sent a preacher? Jesus and Jonah, like Jonah, is a type of Christ. A people, amen, that did not deserve a message, that did not deserve mercy. God sent Jonah to. And now I remind you, Jesus, we did not deserve His mercy and His grace. And He came into His own, and His own received it not. But to as many as would receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. The book of Jonah is not about a great fish, but it's about a great Father. It's not about a sorry prophet, but it's about a great Savior tonight. And aren't you glad for the mercy of God that He sent a messenger your way? Thank God for the preacher that was preaching the gospel the night you got born again. Thank God for the Sunday school teacher that taught you the Word of God. Thank God for the person that witnessed to you on the job. Whatever your testimony is, thank God for that one that God sent the Word to. Amen. A sinful place. Watch this, a sovereign purpose. He said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Note the threefold commission of Jonah in verse number 2. He said, arise. This tells me Jonah was sitting. He wasn't standing. He had sat down on God. I wonder how many people tonight you've sat down on God and the will of God for your life. God told you to do something. He's a prophet. He is a man. I understand. Sitting is a place of rest. But in the context, God told Jonah to get up. I need you to go do something. Hey, I tell you tonight, we don't need to sit down on God in these days we're living in. I understand there's a lot of things going on in the world, and things are having to be, the meeting I was scheduled to be in this week's been canceled. I understand that. But I'd rather plan things and try to do things than just sit on the sidelines and say, well, we can't do nothing. We better just do what we can, while we can, and do it the best we can. Amen. For the glory and honor of God. I'm going to say it tonight, and I'm going to say it again. I've been saying it for 2 years now. You can't stop living because you're scared of dying. We got to go on for the glory of God and walk on for the Lord and try to do a work for God. I tell you, there are things in this life far worse than death. Yeah. He said, arise. This means Jonah was sitting. Go. This means Jonah was stagnant. Not only was he sitting, but he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't even occupied. He wasn't even busy about the Lord's work. Oh, there used to be people that used to be busy for the work of God, but they've sat down on God and they've got stagnant. He said, arise. He was sitting. Go. He was stagnant. Then cry. He was silent. Wasn't saying anything. That voice used to prophesy and used to preach and used to warn. No longer he's doing that. He was not saying anything for God. I mean, he wasn't saying anything bad, but he wasn't saying anything good either. Amen. Ain't it amazing when we ought to be quiet, we're not. And when we don't need to be quiet, we are. Ain't it amazing if there's gossip or a funny joke or something worldly to be talked about, we're quick to jump in that conversation. But when the preacher and I'm not scolding you tonight because we've had some good testimonies, but when the preacher says, anybody got a word for the Lord, we all get lockjaw. Amen. May God help us. Amen. So I find the divine call in verse 1 and 2, but then I find the disobedient conduct in verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I note in verse several thoughts. First of all, a personal decision. But Jonah rose up to flee. Nobody made Jonah disobey God. Nobody made Jonah run from God. Jonah done it himself. Jonah decided, I don't want to go. You read on through the book of Jonah, you'll find out that Jonah was a prejudiced man. Jonah did not want the Ninevites to be saved. He didn't want God to work in their life. He'll tell God in Jonah chapter 4, I knew you was going to forgive them. I mean, ain't that crazy? A preacher getting mad at people getting saved. I have preached and seen people get saved. I was in a service one night where I saw a husband and wife get saved. I don't think I've ever seen a whole family get saved in a service. But this ain't a couple getting saved. This ain't a family getting saved. This is a whole nation repenting and turning to God. And Jonah got mad about it. His personal decision. May I say this tonight? When Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, he made one bad decision. Can I let you in on something tonight and caution you? One bad decision will often lead to another bad decision. And one right decision doesn't always undo that one bad decision. Sometimes, and this is the brass tack, sometimes you just got to live with some things. You can't change it. You can't do nothing about it. You just got to kind of go on and not do it again. Are y'all with me tonight? His personal decision, his planned destination. He said he rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. If you just look at a Bible map, the place where Jonah is at is right here on the map. Nineveh is here, about 422 miles north. Joppa is here. Nineveh is over, Tarshish is 2,500 miles over here. Where Jonah is at in this text, he's 422 miles from where God wants him to go. But he wants to go 2,500 miles the opposite direction. The will of God's always more is easier than your plans. It may not always be easy, but it'll take less time to get there. 2,500 miles as opposed to 422 miles. It's planned destination. His preceding discovery, verse 3, he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. He goes down to Joppa and it just so happens he finds a boat going where he wants to go. This must be the will of God. You'd be surprised how many people will mistake the will of God for convenience and circumstance and coincidence. That's why you don't throw your life to the wind. That's why we're not to throw our life to chance. I'm going to tell you, can I encourage you something as a pastor? Do not live on your emotions. You want, personally, that is just something that aggravates me. Is somebody who lives on emotions. They tear my nerves up. I mean, it is either all good or it is all bad. I mean, there is never just like any like, yeah, I'm good. You know, things are good. I mean, it's either, woo, shout the victory, or I think I'm going to kill myself. And that could be in the same day. That is not the will of God. Well, I feel like I need to do this. That's your problem when you feel. You better faith it. It's preceding discovery. He thinks the will of God. Oh, watch this pitiful deception. So he paid the fare thereof. He gets down there, finds a boat going where he wants to go, reaches in his pocket, and looky there. I have enough money to purchase a ticket to go where I want to go. I must have missed God. God wants me to go to Tarshish and preach. No, it just so happens you just happen to have enough money, Jonah. I know why he was surprised. He was a preacher and he had enough money to get there. But it was just coincidence. By the way, the devil knows how to put money in your pocket too. He knows how to make travel plans for you too. Amen. He knows how to work things out. I mean, some people told the last one, you know, they're like, if the sun gets up in the morning, then I'm going to do, rise in the morning, then I'm going to do this. Well, duh. I mean, if this happens and that happens. Remember I preached back last year on Gideon putting out that fleece? And I preached on the foolishness of a fleece? It is foolish for you to put out a fleece. You know why? You got a Bible. You got the indwelling Spirit of God. You don't need a fleece. Fully on your fleece. You got the Word of God. Don't put out a fleece and say, well, if this happens, then I'm going to do this. No, if God told you in His Word and confirmed, told you by His Spirit, confirmed it in His Word, you do it whether you understand or not, you walk on by faith. His pitiful deception. Just because something feels right don't mean it is right. Ask Isaac about that. Jacob comes in there with the skins of that animal on there. And Isaac's blind. He feels them arms and said, well, you feel like Esau, but boy, you should do sound like Jacob. And it got him in a mess. Can't live on feelings, friend. I'm telling you, can't live on emotions. If I said, preacher, if I don't, we are emotional people. I understand that. When you cry, that is an emotion. When you shout, that is an emotion. But that should not be what drives you. There should be facts and faith and the Scriptures that drive your life. Either this is God's Word or it's not. Either it is true or it's not. And anytime we're doubting the Word of God, we are headed for trouble. Amen. Do you think if, and I'm not bragging on me tonight because I have dealt with this in my life, but if I lived on emotions, I would not be here as pastor tonight. And you wouldn't be here as a member tonight. Because all of us have felt like not being here. But we know God put us here. And we know God led us here. It always, and I'm not trying to be critical tonight, but it always amazes me. People stand up and say, I know God has led me here until something goes on here they don't like. I'm not talking about doctrinal. It's just something like the cat gets rubbed the wrong way and all of a sudden God's changed his mind. That don't add up, friend. I had a man, I've been here 9 years, so I ain't got to give you specific years, but had a man call one time and said, we're leaving. I said, I understand that. Where are you going? You know, in pastoring these 9 years, I've only had 3 men know where they was going when they left here. And I respect all 3 of them this day because all 3 of those men are still in those churches serving God. All 3 of those men called me and said, preacher, this is where God, we're going. I have respect for those men. You know what bothers me is when they say, well, I don't know. God never gives you direction without giving you a destination.
That's right.
Amen. God does lead people. But he don't lead people out just to find somewhere. God will never lead you from somewhere without taking you to somewhere. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, this don't be a pitiful deception. Amen. There's a perpetual digression. Verse 3 and 5. Watch what Jonah did. He fled. He rose up to flee in the Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa. I'm emphasizing some words. I want you to make sure you hear them. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. And he went down into it to go with them from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his own God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. You see what he's doing? He's going away from God. And every step he says, he's going down, further down, further down. And you read on in the chapter, he goes way down when that well gets him. In fact, he said, I went to the bottoms of the mountains. You can't get much lower than that. When you go away from God and you get out of God's will, it's always a downward digression. A perpetual digression. Once you start running from God, it never gets any better. There's a divine call. There is a disobedient conduct, but number 3, there is the deliberate correction. I guess I'm tying into what I was preaching this morning. Look at verse 4 and 5. But the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I notice in this text, we see the sent storm in verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. I don't know where we got this idea that the devil controls the weather. The devil has never put you in a storm. Did you hear what I said? The devil's never put you in a storm. He has no control over the storm. Who set the flood in Genesis 6 and 7? The Lord. Who sent the storm in Jonah 1? The Lord. I understand he's the prince and power of the air. But that don't mean he controls all the weather. The Lord sent the storm. If the devil does have any control in that regard, and I'm not sure if he does, it's because the Lord allowed him to have it. It's because he just said, all right, I'll let you have this. But it ain't like the devil said, I'm going to whip up a hurricane and a tornado for this. God, the Bible said he rideth the winds. He the clouds are the dust of his feet. He hath his way in the whirlwind. The sent storm, but then there's the struggling ship. Verse 4, so the ship was like to be broken. No doubt the journey began. When the journey began, it was smooth sailing. But after a little while, when the storm came in, the storm began to fight against that ship, and the ship began to struggle, and it was like to be broken. Like to be broken. You may do well out of God's will for a while, but it won't last long. Well, preacher, I've seen so-and-so, they got out of church and they're not living for the Lord, and they're still doing good. Their kids are still doing, they're all doing good. Yeah, because they're reaping benefits from those good years they sowed. Amen. But I'm telling you, harvest will change. Y'all still with me? Did I mess somebody up on that last point? I believe when God sends you, takes you from one place, He'll send you somewhere else if you're in God's will. Amen. I believe that tonight. We notice the scared sailors in verse 5. Then the mariners, that's not the baseball team. Then the mariners that were afraid cried every man to his God. I wrote this down. Your disobedience will have a negative effect on other people. We see the short supply. Here's what they've done. They began to cast forth wares that were in the ship into the sea and to lighten it of them. I thought about this today, Brother Rich. You'll find in Acts chapter 28 or chapter 27 when Paul's in that storm. A rock lit dawn, and Paul tried to warn them, don't sail. It's not going to be good. God's told me the ship's not going to make it. But they listened to the captain of the ship other than Paul. You know what they happened when they got in that storm? The Bible said they lightened the ship. They again throw over the tackling. The Bible said they cast the wheat, their bread, their food overboard. But in Matthew 14, in Noah's storm, in Matthew 14, where Jesus walks on the water to those disciples on the storm, in Mark 4, where Jesus is sleeping in the hinder part of the ship, you don't find him throwing anything overboard. You don't find Jonah out there on that ark throwing stuff out that window hoping they'll still float. You don't find the disciples in Matthew 14 lightening the ship. You don't find them in Mark 4 lightening the ship. You know why? Because God put them in the boat and God said, go to the other side. God sanctioned their trip. But when you go out on your own, you're going to lose some precious cargo. Don't you think they needed everything they were throwing overboard? You just don't put stuff on a boat. Space is precious. Especially on a boat. I don't have one. But Tony has one, but I've not seen it. But I would think that even weight is important what you have on a boat. So you just don't put stuff on a boat just to put on. Obviously, you need it. But when they went out on their own, they began to throw things over that they needed. I tell you, you go out on your own, get out of God's will, you'll lose precious cargo. Short supply. I noticed a sleeping saint in verse 5. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I understand sleep can be a sign of rest and resting in the Lord. But it's not a positive sleep. The disciples slept in the garden. Jesus said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Eutychus went to sleep in that wind and fell out. Of course, Paul preached a 6-hour sermon, so I mean, who wouldn't? A sleeping saint. He was not bothered. He was okay being out of God's will. That's a scary place to be. He was so, boy, I saw that today, Brother William, and that struck my heart. He was so okay being out of God's will, Brother Rich. He's like, I'm going to take me a nap. I'd hate to get out of God's will and be able to go to bed and rest. A sleeping saint. But in closing, let me say this. I'm done. I see a strange surprise. Look at verse 6, the first 5, the first 3 words. But the Lord. So I said, preacher, we made a strange surprise. Jonah is rebelling. He is being completely disobedient to what God told him to do. And God's given him another chance. And God's given him another opportunity to get right. If you look at Jonah chapter number 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Aren't you glad that when you failed God, and when you've been disobedient to God, you'll find a strange surprise. That He is still interested in you. That He still wants to use you. That He still wants to touch your life. He still wants to bless your life. He still wants to use you in some way. I'll tell you, I'm so glad tonight and I'm so thankful for the times when I failed God and been disobedient to God, that He still had mercy on me. That He still had compassion on me. That He still had grace on me. That He came into me the second time and gave me another chance. I'll tell you tonight, that well was the mercy of God. Because it could have been a shark. Think about that. God could have sent a shark and ate him and killed him. But God sent a whale. He had the first submarine. It's exactly what I had, the first submarine. Yeah. You know what? That whale is just like Noah's Ark. No steering wheel. God directed that whale and put Jonah right where he needed to be. I don't know about you tonight. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm going to tell you, I have failed as a husband, as a daddy, as a preacher, as a pastor. Thank you for not saying amen right there. We all know it's the truth. I failed as a man. I have failed so many times. But I'm glad tonight, though I failed the Lord, He's never failed me. So I want to challenge, I know you're here on a Sunday night. Come on, Brother Matthew, I'm done. I know you're here on a Sunday night. I preached 30 minutes. And you're committed. I appreciate your faithfulness tonight. But I want to give us all a warning tonight. When God speaks to us about an area in our life, let's not run from God. Let's not run from the will of God. It's a whole lot easier to submit. Had Jonah disobeyed God, he could have rode topside instead of riding the submarine. But he had to go the hard way. Let's submit to God. Let's not resist Him. You know the only thing we're told to resist in the Bible? Resist the devil. We're supposed to submit to God. Submit to God. Let's stand, please. I appreciate your attention. The foolishness of running from God. I don't want to run from God in my life. Whatever He wants me to do, that's what I want to do.